what a new bill from the House means for the trade war. From Marketplace in Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams in for David Brancaccio. Last night, the U.S. House of Representatives passed a package of bills supporting the pro-democracy Hong Kong protests. Two have to deal with U.S. trade and commerce on the peninsula and other human rights. Marketplace's Erica Barris has been following the story. And Erica, what's in this package?
One of the bills, the Hong Kong Human Rights and Democracy Act, requires different departments within the U.S. government to do an annual review looking at whether the city is autonomous enough from China and consider the region's special trading status. Essentially, it has an effect on how we trade with Hong Kong. As it is now, Hong Kong's a special administrative region of China, and exports from the mainland can go through Hong Kong, potentially avoiding U.S. export controls.
What's been the reaction so far?
Well, the bill still has to go before the Senate and then to the president to sign into law or veto. But in Hong Kong, thousands of protesters gathered to support the legislation. When you look at the footage, you see a lot of American flags waving. Meanwhile, a spokesperson for the Hong Kong government, quote, expressed regret over the bill. And the Chinese government opposes the bill, saying it, quote, grossly interferes in China's internal affairs and that the government will take countermeasures against the U.S.,
which could show up in our ongoing trade war. And Erica, what else is in this package?
Well, there's a provision that the State Department should allow qualified Hong Kong residents to get work or study visas in the U.S., even if they've been arrested for participating in nonviolent protests supporting human rights. More than 2,000 people have been arrested since the protests began this summer. Also passed yesterday was a bill that would stop the export of items like tear gas and rubber bullets, an effort to keep police in Hong Kong from using those on protesters.
Marketplace's Erica Barris, thanks.
You're welcome.
And Netflix will report its third quarter earnings later today. The streaming service is facing lots of competition as big names like Disney and Apple get into streaming. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports on what Netflix is doing to compete with the newcomers.
Back in July, Netflix said U.S. subscriptions fell for the first time ever. And Apple and Disney's streaming services don't even start until next month. Michael Inouye at ABI Research says people are only going to want so many streaming services.
You may have the Disney Plus, but then you may have to remove a service, and that might be Netflix.
Netflix is experimenting with things like product placement in its shows to promote its brand. In the third season of Stranger Things, set in 1985, one of the characters drinks a new Coke.
How do you even drink that?
Because it's delicious.
What?
Coke is actually like selling the stuff again, promoting Netflix on the cans. E-marketer analyst Ross Benish says Netflix is also releasing its own promotional merchandise.
You know, action figures, putting the stuff on t-shirts and licensing products like that.
And as Netflix tries to fend off new competitors, Benish says it'll spend about $15 billion on its shows this year. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Adding another competitor to the streaming landscape, AMC Theaters, the world's largest movie chain, announced Monday it's launching a streaming service, AMC Theaters On Demand. The company says it will have around 2,000 titles from big studios that are already showing their movies on the big screen, although new movies will be available for streaming on the site about the same time they show up for the others. And let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is down almost 0.2%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are down in the 2 to 0.3% range, with the Dow future down 75 points. The 10-year Treasury yield is also down at 1.727%. Parenthood is becoming less common in America. Young adults between 18 and 35 are less likely than previous generations to have or want kids. One group going against that trend is the LGBTQ community. The nonprofit group Family Equality did a survey looking at this and found today's young LGBTQ people are much more likely than those in previous generations to want to have kids. And the fertility industry is starting to learn how to better serve this growing market. Hannah Harris-Green reports.
When Taylor Frey and his husband, Kyle Dean Massey, had a child through egg donation, they found the process frustrating and impersonal. And it was designed for infertile straight couples. They decided they could do a better job. So last year, the couple moved to LA and founded an egg donor agency called Elevate that connects couples with donors and fertility clinics. They market themselves as
the agency for gay moms and dads.
Massey says they tried to create an experience that made sense for couples like them, who know from the beginning that a surrogate will be part of the picture.
They're not coming from that emotional space of not being able to use their own eggs.
In the U.S., the assisted reproductive technology market is projected to surpass $17 billion by 2025. These services can cost more for LGBTQ people. Brittany Collins, CEO of Pacific Fertility Center in Los Angeles, says that, for example, two men might need both a surrogate and a donor instead of one or the other.
You're managing more people during the process of making a baby than you would ordinarily, so it's just a lot more complicated.
And can easily cost over $100,000 for gay men. For lesbian couples, fertility services are usually less expensive, depending on their needs, but they're still less likely than infertile straight couples to get these services covered by insurance. And a single round of IVF costs $12,000 on average. Those price tags mean the rising number of LGBTQ parents could be a big part of the fertility industry's market growth. Amanda Hopping-Wynn, program director at Family Equality, says fertility agencies need to get ready for these customers.
To create an inclusive and welcoming practice,
Family Equality offers resources for this.
We have some LGBTQ cultural competency trainings that we are offering to fertility clinics.
Some of these teach culturally sensitive terminology on sexuality, gender, and the LGBTQ community. And these days, sometimes fertility service providers are part of the LGBTQ community. They're changing what fertility services look like. In Los Angeles, I'm Hannah Harris-Green for Marketplace.
And in Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.